So welcome to Confessions of a Serial Seller. My guest today, he's been voted the top 10 SaaS branding expert in the world. He's been voted top 19 B2B marketer to follow. And he's also been voted in the Sales World top 50 keynote speakers. He's the chief marketing officer of what people have described as the best sales enablement tool the world has ever seen, VanillaSoft. Daryl Prail, thank you so much for joining me today.
Tony, it is awesome to be here. I know I've now made it because now I'm on your show. Dude, exactly. Thank you so much for the invite.
Oh, my pleasure, my friend. My pleasure is all mine. Please tell me, I always like to start off for my listeners to understand how my guest got into the world of sales, how it began and how you reached, you know, one of the top influencers in this beautiful world of sales. So how did it begin for you?
Okay, so I'll try to keep this short and sweet. I always say I took a very circuitous, uncommon path to sales. But the truth is, every time I say that, I talk to somebody else, they were the exact same way. They took a weird path to get to sales, right? So we all get their own ways. I am a computer programmer by education. That's what I am. And, so I was good at it. I enjoyed it. It was all good.
Yeah.
But when I finished university, after 3 years, and I've watched all my friends turn into geeks, excuse me, no offense to the geeks. I turned to my girlfriend at the time. Now she's my wife, and my friends. And I said, I don't want to do this, but I don't know what to do. And multiple people say to me, Daryl, you should be in sales.
Yeah.
And you know, at 20 years old, 21 years old, whatever I was, I'm like, sales, what? I don't really know sales. You know, my parents were blue collar. They worked on the line. You know, there was no sales in our, no sales, no leadership in our family.
Mm.
And so I started applying, and lo and behold, I get my first job, and I'm selling photocopiers door to door.
Tough gig.
It's a tough gig. I had to go buy a vehicle because I had to lug around the copier. Some were big, some were small. And that's how I got into it. And I did that for 6 months.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, I sucked. It was grueling. It was grinding. It killed my confidence. And then I hate it when I watch the people who are having success were the ones who were just screwing customers.
Yeah.
So in the same breath, man, you learn so much. You don't even know you're learning door to door, how to make that opening pitch, how to understand how to connect, just perseverance, tenacity. You really understand the power of activity and how when you don't do it, it bites you in the behind, you know, a week or a month or 3 months later.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I said, I'm going to go back to software because I wasn't enjoying the photocopier thing. I did software. Software became from development to program management to, I'm sorry, product management to product marketing to marketing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was, you know, here I am, head of marketing. And then boom, you know, I became the head of sales in marketing.
Mm.
So once again, I'm a head of sales. I got a team. And so I've been a VP of sales multiple times, I've carried a bag. My preference, and I tell this to everybody, I don't want to mislead you. Mm. I prefer marketing over sales.
Mm.
And the reason is one simple reason, because I love it all, is in marketing, I don't have a quota over my head. Yeah, I have to deliver leads and, you know, I got to convert and I got to show ROI and I have other things over my head.
Yes.
But I don't have the quota. So the irony though, is that every company I've been at, I've probably been the most visible sales rep. So even my role now as a marketer,
yes,
because I'm on Tony's show, I get lots of people saying, tell me more about VanillaSoft. Yeah. And then I start selling them all over again. And that's qualifying them, understanding what they're looking at, what are the value props. And then I work with our sales team to nurture them through the process. So there you go. That's
my
story.
It's funny actually, when you talk about sales and marketing, my background was, you know, as you know, I've been on your show that I start off switching utilities, B2C, and then sold software. And I remember this is going back 20 years ago, and sales and marketing hated each other, right? It was arch enemies. But nowadays, I think it's so required, that link between sales and marketing, and it's all about having your own personal brand. So what's your opinion for my listeners about how vital marketing really is now to a sales individual, sales manager, sales leader?
So This all started changing. This is my theory. I've talked about this many times before. When the world started going to software as a service and subscription base, and nobody in the company wanted to own it. And then the IT group were like, no, we only do on-premise stuff because, you know, hey, we can control it. That subscription stuff's bogus. I got to have a box. I got to have software. I got to make sure. And so what happened was marketing said, well, I'll own it. I'll do the email. And email led to marketing automation. The marketing automation led to CRM or vice versa.
Yeah.
And before you knew it, marketing went from this person at the table that was kind of cute. Hey, HR is here and marketing's here, but they don't make any decisions. It's all the CEO and the head of sales.
Yeah.
To now, like, oh my gosh, marketing, you're the dude. You're the cat because you know everything. You know the numbers, you know the processes. You created them, you monitor them, you hold people accountable, and all of a sudden marketing had massive influence. And at the same time, because of that, we could actually show how we contribute to the sale, and we could show the sales team, this is what I've done for you. This is what's pulling better. And by the way, you're the one dropping the ball. If you want proof of it, I've got sales engagement tools. I've got conversational analytics tools. I've got a whole bunch of tools that says you're dropping the ball. Let me show you how to be a better sales rep. So for sales folks, be nice to your marketers.
Yeah.
Take them out for a coffee. Understand how they think. Here's the biggest disconnect between sales and marketing today. They have come light years. It's why you've also seen the emergence of the chief revenue officer.
Yes. Because
now you can finally have one person running the entire thing because they are united in revenue. But sales folks, you have to understand this. Marketing is really only focused on the top half of the funnel. And that's it. All right. They're not going to close the deals for you.
Yeah.
You're on the bottom half of the funnel. And one more thing. When you start, you don't make a mistake and start saying you do things better. I see this all the time from sales reps. My open rates are better. My emails are better. My subject lines are better. You know, I'm better than marketing. I don't know why we have marketing. No, you're not better.
Yeah.
You don't understand what marketing's doing. You're having a one-on-one conversation. Marketing's having a one-on-many conversation.
Yes.
And what they're doing is they're laying ground cover so that when you call somebody or you send that email, they go, oh, VanillaSoft, I've heard of you guys.
Yeah.
So you work together, and that's the really, really important thing.
Yeah, great advice there. I know you've been in sales and marketing many, many years. You've worked with, I believe you've got 5,000 customers in VanillaSoft now.
Yes.
So you've worked with thousands upon thousands. What do you believe, looking at some of the top sales performers in the world, what do you believe are the skills, the traits, the characteristics of what makes the top dog in sales?
Okay, so it's varied. It's really changed over the years, okay? So it historically has always been, number one, an activity, right? You got to do the activity.
Yeah.
And that's never changed when I was selling photocopiers to today. So if you don't do the activity, if you don't optimize your time, you don't time block, you don't shut off the notifications and the distractions, if you're too busy chatty and gossiping and rather, as opposed to doing the activity, then you know you get what you get. So number one is activity. That's the number one attribute. But the next, then it gets just get a lot smarter. They understand a couple things. They understand exactly who their ideal customer is. They understand who their persona, if you will. I'm talking about sales versus a head of marketing, how they're different. They understand their world. They go out of way to understand their world.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Marketer, I imagine for somebody like you in your industry and your company size, these are the challenges you're facing. Am I right? ABC? As opposed to just, you know, winging it. Captain Wing It, I've heard it called. Yeah. So they understand who they're talking to. They micro hyper segment.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm only looking at a list of, and hence the emergence of ABM, which by the way, way back when was invented by IBM, it's called target account selling.
Yeah.
If I only have 100 accounts, these one versus 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, these 100 accounts have these elements in common. So when I call into them, I can say, if you're, you know, for this hyper segment, these are the issues you as an organization are having. Am I right, Mr. Persona? And this is how my product can fix it. So because of that, the messaging resonates. So hyper segment. And then they use tools like you wouldn't believe. They understand the power of the tools. Last but not least, okay, I could get on. You know, they understand how to listen and ask questions. They listen, ask a question, they listen. They're very intentional about the process. They set value up front so then when it comes to negotiation time,
yeah,
they don't have to have arguments. They preempt objections. Last but not least, you mentioned that I want to hit this. This is the most misunderstood thing of all successful sales reps, is they understand the power of personal brand, and they are very intentional, about building their personal brand. And that, because people in the end, no matter who you are and what you're buying, no matter what the price point is, I buy because I trust you. And the personal brand leads into the trust. So long-winded answer. I know I threw everything against the wall there, but that's my answer.
No, they're great observations, and I agree with every single one. What would you say, if you think of all the sales that you personally made in your career, and it may be at VanillaSoft or previous, which one sale really stands out for you personally? And what would you say were the biggest takeaways from that?
I've been asked this question before, and I'm going to be the guy who gives you the bad answer, which is there is no one sale. And maybe it's because I'm now early 50s and I've been doing this for too long. So I don't remember the one sale, but this is what I do remember. Those sales that are memorable, it wasn't the customer, it wasn't the product or the service, it was the process. When I work with colleagues in my group, so when I got back into sales, the first time after selling copiers, my role was as a sales engineer. It's not a role you see a lot anymore, but my job is to go in the field and mock up the software, the technology against your solution. Not just talk about it, because SaaS didn't exist back then. It was to physically mock it up and show it to you. Working with the sales engineer, working with my mentors, working with, our legal counsel to come up with contracts that work, working with, my financial bean counters to work with payment terms or financing options, even pre-SaaS, that worked. When the whole team came together and we strategized about the account and we were intentional and we knew the competition and we were able to lay roadblocks and landmines to preempt any attack they made, I view it as a glorified chess game. I'm moving lots of pieces on the board. My job is to capture the king. My job is to close the deal. When I had all of that team working together, it wasn't about me. It was about us. It's the camaraderie. It's the team. At times you have to go into the war room because the competition's come back hard. How do I respond? Those are the things that I find memorable. Those are the things that I enjoy the most. Those, because when it's done, you and the team go out and celebrate. No one sales professional ever celebrates the deal because of what they did and they did alone.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, I know you've, on your podcast, your show Inside Sales, you've had some amazing guests. You've probably been surrounded by some super entrepreneurs in your time. What's some of the best advice you've personally ever been given from a sales perspective?
Okay, this is going to sound counterintuitive, although you've heard it before and you've lived it, then it's going to make perfect sense. As an entrepreneur, which is often the same as a salesperson, I'll get both perspectives.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur, the best advice I had was be prepared. Do not hesitate to fire a customer. Because if they're not making you money and they're sucking you cycles away from other opportunities, their emotional baggage, whatever they might be, you're never going to make them happy. Yes, you'll miss the revenue short term. Get rid of them because they're holding you back from success. It's very similar. And now advice from a sales point of view. And I even had a conversation this morning with somebody about this, which is it's okay to walk away from a deal. If you think the only way you can get a deal is to discount, walk away. Because what's going to happen is even if you discount, they're going to feel they could have got a bigger discount and they won't be happy. And you're going to be bitter because two things. A, you make no money in the account. B, you have no commission check. C, you've got the pain of actually supporting them. And they're probably going to be a high maintenance customer anyway. So give yourself permission to walk away from a deal. When you negotiate from a position of indifference, you're never in a stronger position. It's a mindset.
Love that. Absolutely love that advice. You mentioned earlier when you were talking about the top traits of sales top performers, one of them is to be crystal clear on your target audience, the persona. What's your best advice, Daryl, for my listeners to really understand who their avatar really is?
Okay, that's a simple question, and it's amazing. People are always shocked when I tell them this answer, and I love that you asked that question. I rarely get asked that question. Okay, here we go. It's rocket science. Here we go. You're going to pick up this thing called a phone, and you're going to call your existing customer who has that exact same persona avatar in your target market, that hyper segment list, and you're going to say, "Sally, can I spend 15 minutes with you?" Sure. Mm. I want to know why you bought my offering.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me what challenges you were having. What else did you evaluate? I want to know, how did you create the business case? I want to know, how has it been perceived? I want to know what the ROI has been. I want to know what's missing from the product. I want to know how I'm different from the competition. Mm. You do this 3 to 5 times. That's all you have to do. That's it. Yeah. You're going to hear some common threads. But here's the best part. Next time you're prospecting and you're talking to that persona, that avatar, and you're spewing off all this stuff you've just learned, and they're going, yeah, you sound different from all the rest. You get me. And then you do this. You say, well, it's funny you should say that. I was just talking to Sally at ABC Company, and this is what she shared with me. So now you're storytelling. So you've moved beyond the pitch into the relationship, and you sound credible because it's not your story, it's Sally's story. So that's how you learn. You just ask questions.
That's brilliant. What a clever idea. And I've heard a similar thing done the other way, where once you lose, you know, because I'm a big believer.
Why'd I lose?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big believer. You never lose. You win and you learn. So phoning up a prospect that didn't choose you, and you actually get a colleague on your behalf to phone up to get the truth, right? Because if they didn't like you, they probably don't have the audacity to tell you. So they'll just blame your fee, right?
So the irony of that whole thing, what you just said, in my answer, this is totally not coordinated, folks. When Tony was on my show, the topic we talked about, this was Tony's topic, was the 3-letter word that will catapult your sales performance. Mm. And the 3-letter word is ask. Now he's talking about, you know, what to ask, how to ask, when to ask, the wrong way to ask. I'm just using ask in a different application, but ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it. I want to ask, and you might not have an answer for this, and I know, you know, like your podcast, we just chat, right? We don't plan, because I don't want it to sound scripted. But if you had one sales mantra that you lived by, what would that be?
Oh, I've not been asked that one before. Okay, so you see that long pause, folks? That means I'm really actually thinking hard about this one. Okay, so this answer is going to sound contrite. Be honest. And that honesty thing can go a lot of ways. It could be, you know, be honest about your product, be honest about your pricing, be honest about your strengths and weaknesses. But it really means, you know, when they ask you a question and the answer is not good, you know, you're honest. You say, you know, yeah, no, we don't do that. Or you know what? I don't have the answer right now, but I can get you an answer. People sniff out really fast if they can trust you or not. I'm not saying you can't spin a little.
Yeah.
You know, no, we don't have that, but it is on the roadmap. And then you hang up the call and say, hey guys, we need to put this on the roadmap.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and if they come back and they say, okay, well, we'll get it on a month's time. Okay, go back. Hey, yeah, it's on the roadmap. It's in 3 months' time.
Yes.
But be honest, be genuine with them. Here's the thing that most sales professionals do not understand. Buyers do not always buy the best product. So if you're honest and your price is competitive and your solution is good enough, they will buy yours over the better solution from the competition, because they don't trust the competition. Honesty is the foundation of a relationship and of trust. And though, as we all know, it's a cliche, but that truly is how people buy.
Brilliant. Brilliant. In your, I know you're a technology expert. As you said, you're a designer and engineer by trade. In your opinion, has sales changed in the last, say, 10 years?
I mean, some ways, no, but in many ways, yes. I mean, so I'll state the obvious. You know, you hear the stories all the time, and this is true. You know, we were given yellow pages, or we were given just printouts of lists, and it's just, you know, start calling, and there was no rhyme, no reason. And you would work your way through the entire list. You wouldn't call them back a second time. There was no concept of multi-channel.
Yeah.
It was very much a sweatshop in many organizations. Or it was the complete opposite, which was super relational, because it's a $1 million sale and I wined and dined you, and we did the sporting events and we did the dinners and we dropped $20,000 on the pursuit of the deal, which we may or may not get. So that whole world has gone out the door. Inside sales, my show, inside sales, is an old moniker that really speaks to the sales development reps of today. But everybody sells inside today. But there was a time not long ago where inside sales was just a bad place to be. It was a career ender, no progression. Everybody wanted to be an outside sales rep. So where now it's the only place people hang out is inside. You can work from home and it's okay. You know, when I began life, I had suits on. Now I can be in jeans and a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I can be in pajamas and the dog barking in the background with the kids running back and forth, and it's all cute, right? So yeah, it's changed with the tools, and yeah, it's changed with how it's more informal. But what's not changed is that you still approach it to be the best at your skill set. And if you don't have the skills, you acquire the skills, whether you're buying books, listening to Tony as he talks on his show, all right, or watching YouTube or asking your peers or modeling them, you still invest in yourself. You still practice. You still approach an account smart. If you go get to a point where you're negotiating with somebody and they say, well, I'll give you 50% of what you're asking for, and and it becomes a price conversation. Well, you self-analyze and you go back and say, okay, I didn't set the value up front. I didn't anticipate his objections. Therefore, that's on me. All of that analysis, all of that attribute, all of those techniques, they're old. Zig Ziglar was doing this long before, God bless his soul.
Yeah.
You know, right. And like I say, I mentioned ABM was target account selling. Nothing process wise has changed.
Yes.
It's more of a culture. And it's just the technology.
Yeah. So talking on technology, I know that's your expertise. And it's something you touched on earlier, that the top performers around the world embrace technology. So tell my listeners, if they've not heard of VanillaSoft, and that would be blasphemy, I know. But if they have,
it would be.
We'll kill them.
So what do we do in a nutshell, and why should they care? That's a correct great question. So I'll give you, I'll speak to the marketers who are listening, because if they're not listening, they're morons and they should be listening. And then I'll talk to the sales reps. If I'm talking to a marketer, I'm going to ask, you notice, by the way, I'm not doing a feature pitch just yet.
Yeah.
Marketers, I would say, listen, are you tired of making those leads and your sales guys never follow up on them? Oh my gosh, yes. Are you tired of making leads, and if they do follow up on them, they follow up on 2, 3, 4, 10 of them and say, these leads suck. They don't follow the rest. Yes. Or if they do follow up a lead, it's a good lead, they call them once or twice and then they say, yeah, they didn't answer. I tried. They did nothing. Or if you get a good lead and it's legit and you get a deal happening and they say to you, yeah, it wasn't you. It was me. It was my, I was already talking to them. Your email, your content, your trade show, I was already talking to them.
Yeah.
So, and they all go, yes. Sales folks, I say, especially sales leaders, I'll say, are you tired of your reps cherry picking leads? Yes. Are you tired of your reps being busy like 35, 40% of the time and the rest is done all admin and they're not actually selling? Yes. Do you have reps who don't want to use social media? Do you have reps who are scared of the phone? Do you wish they were doing multi-channel, phone, email, video, text, whatever? Oh my gosh, yes. Okay. All of those problems exist today. That's why that's a pain point for everybody. What VanillaSoft does simply, its simplest way, is we allow sales development reps to implement playbooks, cadences, sequences, pick your word, where you're going to do multi-channel touches. So when a lead comes in, you're going to do 7 touches in 7 days, 12 touches in 18 days, 25 touches in 49 days, whatever the hell it is you want, you pick it up. That's what you're going to do. You're going to do email, you're going to do phone, you're going to social media, you're going to text, you can WhatsApp, you can send direct mail, I don't care. You're going to knock yourself out. You're going to call every single lead. You're going to do them as many times as required. The industry stats now are 9.2 times is what it takes to get a hold of somebody. And then you're going to be guided through the scripts. You have consistent messaging. You're going to capture all the information you need to do. And you're going to close a boatload more business. Cherry picking is gone. Lists are gone. You react in real time to dynamic external triggers. Someone fills a form on your site. Boom, you're calling them right now. Someone reviews you or checks you out on G2 or Capterra or Trust Radius. You know about it. Boom, you're calling them now. That's what a sales engagement tool does. It literally allows the sales folks to properly engage as much and as frequently across as many channels as necessary. It blows away CRM, and that's why sales reps love it, because they make more money. Yeah. They're more productive. They're not wasting time in the water cooler. Sales leadership loves it because they're no longer cherry picking. They're calling every lead, and they're doing it as many times as necessary. And marketing loves it because they're calling every lead. The message is controlled, and it's measurable back. So everybody's happy. That's what VanillaSoft does. VanillaSoft.com. Check it out.
I was going to say, it's the best advert I think I've ever heard, but you articulated it perfectly. Where I've been following you, Darryl, for many years. You're not in a stalking capacity, but I love the content you put out there, and hence why I've got you on my show, and you've very kindly got me on yours. Where's the best place for my listeners to reach out, learn more about you, your show? Where's the best place for them to go, my man?
Okay, so DarrylPrell.com is the website. Darryl Prell on LinkedIn. Darryl Prell on Twitter. Also Twitter, my handle is Opinionated, O-H-P-I-N-I-O-N, the number 8-T-E-D. Go figure, I have opinions. But LinkedIn is where I spend most of my time. You can catch me. I got videos galore. Please follow me. I'll follow you back. It's all good. And I have lots of takes. I want you to have a take too. So don't be shy. Jump into my comments, jump in my opinions, jump in my posts. If you don't agree with me, tell me you don't agree with me, and we will chat live. That's where you can reach me.
Beautiful. Darryl, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and so much great insight, as I knew it would be. And stay safe, my man.
Thank you so much. Likewise, you. And folks, take care. I wish you much success.
Thank you.